Let's come to the Word of God this morning, and we're coming to Joshua chapter 20, please. We've been going through the book of Joshua now for some time. This is our 19th message on the book of Joshua, and we've been looking this last few weeks at the distribution of the land, and this morning we've come to chapter 20, which is going to deal with the subject of the cities of refuge, Joshua chapter 20, and we're going to read from verse number 1, please. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be for your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbour unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come into his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, and Mount Naphtali, Shechem in Mount Ephraim, Kirjath-Jarba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah, and on the other side Jordan by Jericho eastward. They assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. And we do trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this morning. According to the United Nations, I'm not sure how accurate these figures are, but they say 1% of the world population at any time are looking for a refuge. Some 79.5 million people have been displaced, and they are known as refugees. Many people in the world are looking for a refuge, a safe haven. If you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you have a refuge. The psalmist said in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We discover in the New Testament that Jesus Christ is our refuge. Hebrews 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Our refuge is guaranteed. Our refuge will never be overburdened. It will never shut down. We will never be driven away. The one who guarantees it is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've already read in Hebrews 6 that he cannot lie. It's a strong consolation. It's a strong comfort. It's a strong encouragement to know that we have a refuge this morning. I wonder, do you have that refuge? I wonder, have you been looking to that refuge in these days? Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. With this in mind this morning, when we come to this chapter, we're going to read about these cities of refuge. Maybe you're wondering, well, what has this got to do with me this morning? Well, they're a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cities themselves, the very meaning of the cities, all of this will point to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look at them this morning under three very simple headings. I want to view them historically, just to give you a little bit of the background. I want to look at them typically, and then I want to look at them practically this morning. The first hint of a city of refuge or a place of safety is found in Exodus chapter 21. Let me read it to you. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. Now, that's God's word. And when you come into the New Testament, you discover in Romans 13, speaking of the government of the day, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. The Old Testament taught that if someone took a life, they should die. The New Testament teaches that's the responsibility of government to make sure those who carry out such deeds really pay for it. And there's nothing in Scripture to ever indicate anywhere that capital punishment was abolished. There's no Scripture to say that we shouldn't, again, have capital punishment for capital crime. But God recognized something else. Let me read again Exodus 21, verse 12. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. And that's plain and clear. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then will I appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. And there's the hint. Because there could be someone guilty of what we would call in our day manslaughter. And for someone guilty of manslaughter, where it was an accidental death, it wasn't a deliberate death, it wasn't a premeditated death, for that person, God was going to provide a place where they could flee. And this is what we have in the cities of refuge. If you want, come to Numbers chapter 35. Again, do you see this all worked out in the Word of God? I'm just going to give you a little bit of the historical background this morning. Numbers 35 and verse number 6, please. Numbers 35, verse 6. And among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 40 in two cities. This manslayer is not someone who was deliberately guilty of murder. This was not a premeditated murder. This was someone who had taken the life of someone accidentally. Numbers 35, verse 11. Then you shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, but the slayer may flee thither, which telleth any person that unawares. Then, and they shall be to you cities of refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. Another Old Testament law was that if someone took the life of a member of your family, you had the right to take revenge. You had the right to revenge that death. However, if it was accidental, and that person went to a city of refuge, then they couldn't be touched. They couldn't be touched. Look down the chapter to verse 24. Then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood. The revenger of blood is the family member who had the right to take revenge to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and he shall abide unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with holy oil. I think you can see something of the understanding of the cities of refuge. And when we come to Judges chapter 20, here is Joshua carrying out what Moses had instructed. This was God's word. Look again at verse number 1 in Joshua chapter 20. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. Six cities of refuge for the manslayer to flee from the avenger, that he might be safe. Outside the city, he would die. Inside the city, he would be safe. That's the historical background to the cities of refuge. Let me give you some typical teaching when it comes to the cities of refuge. Well, we've already said that Christ is our refuge, and these cities speak of the refuge that's available in the person of Jesus Christ. Notice there were six. Sometimes we can get carried away with numbers, and we have to be careful, but there's no doubt when we come to Scripture that six is a number that's associated with man. Man was made on the sixth day. Antichrist will be 666. He'd be the best that man can do, but still not good enough. Still not able to be what he wanted to be. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is associated with the number seven. We always fall short, but six would also remind us these are for the benefit of men. You see the number. We could say something, there's no restriction. Numbers 35, verse 15. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger. Jew and Gentile could come to these cities. There was absolutely no barriers. Do you remember when we come to the gospel, the Paul reminds us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we could point out some other truths that indeed are in keeping with the gospel message. These cities were not man's idea. This was God's plan. We notice that in verse number 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua. Before man needed this place of refuge, God had provided it. Do you remember what we read about salvation in Revelation 13, verse 8? And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. God, in eternity past, had planned the way of salvation for mankind. It's not an afterthought. And you can see how these cities would speak of the gospel. You know, man's need was fully met. It was God's plan. These cities also reveal to us the mercy of God. If you're in Joshua 20, look at verse number 4. And when he that doth flee unto one of these cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elder of that city, they shall take him in. Remember what the Lord Jesus said, him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Here was someone standing at the gate, and they were brought in. They were brought into the place of refuge. They were brought in to the place of safety. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. As James has said this morning, if you invite Jesus Christ into your heart, you'll be accepted in the beloved. You'll become a child of God. And so you can see the picture of salvation in these cities. These cities were available and they were approachable. If you looked at the map and you studied geography, you'll see that three were on one side of the River Jordan, three on the other side of the River Jordan. So if the Jordan had flooded, there was no excuse. There was a city of refuge available on each side. If you were to divide them by the territory, one in the north, one in the middle, one in the south, on both sides of the river. It is said that no one was any more than 30 miles from a city of refuge. They were approachable and they were available. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said? As many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know, we read another little bit about the cities of refuge in Deuteronomy 19, verse 3. This is what it says. Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. And they were told that the roads to the cities of refuge had to be kept free from any obstruction. They were to be clearly signposted. And so men couldn't go wrong, even if they wanted to. The signposts were clear, and they clearly pointed to the cities of refuge. Isaiah 35, verse 8, the wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. They were there for everyone to see. They were within reach. There was absolutely no excuse. The roads were kept clear, so that anyone who wanted could get to the city of refuge. One writer said this, they were prominent. You'll notice they're associated with mountains. A little bit like the water tower in Refreeland. If you're anywhere near Refreeland, you can see the water tower because it's up high. Well, these cities were the same. You could see them from a distance. They were clearly marked. You could see the city of refuge. They were prominent. They were prepared. As I said, the roads were kept in a state of good repair. The roads were never clogged. The Lord Jesus Christ removed all the barriers for you and I to get to this place of refuge. To you and I to know Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior. The gates were never closed. The gates of these cities were kept open 24/7. You would never come to the city and find yourself locked out. The door was always open. The direction was never confused. As I said, they were clearly signposted. The psalmist said, the Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Who would seek these cities of refuge? Well, those who were guilty. Those who were guilty. You see, this morning, if you understand your guilt, if you understand your need, if you understand that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, do you know what it says in Joshua 20, verse 9? These were the appointed cities for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person that unawares might flee thither. They wouldn't dilly-dally. If you knew that you had blood in your hands, if you knew you were guilty, if you knew what could happen to you, you wouldn't sit about and wait. You would flee. But I say, if you're not saved this morning, if you understood the consequences of sin, Indeed, if you understood what the consequence of sin did to Christ on the cross, you would flee to Calvary this morning. You would want to be saved. You see, the man who was guilty, he would leave his home, he would leave his wife, he would leave his family. Who's holding you back this morning? Who's holding you back? This man would let nothing hold him back. Man or woman, he would head for the city of refuge. He wouldn't wait until tomorrow, verse number 6. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment. These cities were all there for this man or this woman who was guilty. But they may find refuge. Now, before I move on to where I really want to get to this morning, I'm sure many of you have heard of a man called Abner. Abner was guilty of manslaughter. Abner was guilty of killing a man called Ahashiel, who was Joab's brother. He didn't want to kill him, but Ahashiel just wouldn't turn back. And eventually he lost his life. And of course, Joab had the right then to take Abner's life, unless Abner would get to a city of refuge. It says this in 2 Samuel 3, verse 27. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Hebron is one of these cities, Joab took him aside to the gate to speak with him quietly. He pretended to be his friend. He pretended to have no bad motives and smote him there under the fifth rib that he died for the blood of Ahashiel, his brother. Do you know what David said about Abner in 2 Samuel 3, verse 38? He said he was a great man. And he was a great man. But you know else what else he said about them? 2 Samuel 3, verse 33. And the king lamented over Abner and said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth?" And you could be a great man or a great woman, and you could have much going for you, but if you die without Christ, you're a fool. "Died Abner as a fool dieth." This is what David said. "Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou." He was standing right on the gate of Hebron. All he had to do was step into Hebron, and he was safe. He was in refuge, and Joab couldn't touch him. But Abner lingered, and he lingered, and he lingered, and he was lost. "Died Abner as a fool died." Tell me this morning, are you going to die a fool? I preached on it recently, asking the question, is the devil making a fool of thee? Psalm 91, verse 9, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, will you make him your refuge this morning?" Don't be like Abner this morning. Maybe you've been so close, so near, but you just haven't taken that step. "Died Abner as a fool death." We could look at these cities historically. We can look at them typically. I want to finish off by looking at them practically this morning. As I say, each of these cities, even in their names, they speak of Christ. But I wonder, do you need a refuge this morning? And I'm talking to God's people. I wonder, is there a refuge you need this morning because of sin? Have you found yourself falling into sin? Have you found yourself disobeying the Lord? Well, listen, there's cleansing here. Look at Joshua 20, verse 7. "And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee." See that word Kadesh? It means righteousness. It means holy. And we've got a holy God this morning, and we have one who is able to deal with that sin of yours. There was no guile found in his mouth. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, maybe someone watching this morning and friends and family have given up on you. You're a failure. And maybe the old devil has told you, you're gone too far. You have no hope. Listen, this refuge is for you. If you come to the refuge this morning, you'll find that fresh cleansing from the sin. He is faithful and just to cleanse us, forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." The righteous one is there for you this morning. Is there a problem with sin? Is there a problem this morning because you're sad? Do you need comfort this morning? Let's look again in Joshua 20, verse 7. "And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali," and here comes the second city of refuge, "Shechem in Mount Ephraim." Shechem, you know, means shoulder. And I wonder, are you down in these days?
How many people are down? Our heads are down. Our hearts are down.
My, everything is so gloomy, isn't it? And when there's a little shaft of light, someone comes along and snubs the light out. And we're given dates, and the goalposts seek to move all the time, and it seems to be never-ending, and it seems to get on top of people, and we really don't know what way to turn. Well, here, child of God, this morning, here's a shoulder for you to lean on. Here's a shoulder that will never let you down. You know, we read in Isaiah 9, verse 6, that the government shall be upon his shoulder. One day, on his shoulder, he will rule the world. That's how mighty, how powerful he is. Do you remember the parable of the lost sheep? Luke 15, verse 5. When he found it, he layeth upon his shoulders. And I'm not the first to point this out. He had one shoulder to rule the world, but two shoulders in which to put his children. Do you need a shoulder to lean on this morning? Do you need a shoulder to cry on this morning? Well, you have it in your refuge this morning. Will you look to Christ this morning? You see, sometimes there's sin. And we need to get to the refuge. We need rid of that sin. Sometimes there's sadness. I just don't know what to do. Will you just lean in those everlasting arms this morning? We have cleansing because of sin. We have comfort because of times we're sad. I wonder, are you separated this morning? Look at Joshua 20, verse 7 again. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the Mount of Judah. Now, we've talked about Hebron before. Do you remember when we looked at Caleb? Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. He wanted above everything to have that unbroken, unblemished fellowship with the Lord. Nothing between you and the Lord, only blue skies. Are you out of fellowship at the moment? Are you like the prodigal son at the moment? It's interesting in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. Let me read what would happen to a rebellious child in the Old Testament. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father, nor the voice of his mother, and that when they had chastened him, he will not hearken unto them. Then shall his father and mother lay hold on him, bring him out to the elders of the city and unto the gates of this place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city, listen, shall stone him with stones that he die. That's the Old Testament. What should have happened to a son who's rebellious, who won't listen to his parents, who runs away, gets into all the things of the world? This is what they could do under the law. You know the parable of the prodigal son. Do you remember when he was coming home? And he fits the bill of Deuteronomy 21. What did his father do? His father ran to him. And he hugged him and he kissed him. And if anyone was going to throw a stone, it would bounce off the father first. That's how much your Father loves you. That's how much God loves you. And dear child of God, if you've gone into bypass meadows, listen, God hasn't given up on you. He's standing with his arms wide open. And like the prodigal, the Father, he wants to run to you. Doesn't matter what anyone else will say. Doesn't matter who has given up on you. It doesn't matter the stones that they might hurl at you and say you'll never stick it, it'll never last. He'll tell you he's there for you. What a refuge we have this morning. That which we have seen and declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And here's what John said. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Is there sin this morning? Listen, what a refuge. Is there sadness this morning? What a refuge. Is there separation this morning? What communion we have in this refuge? Tell me, is there someone here who's stuck this morning? Are you facing something you can't handle? You've tried all your own resources, like the woman with the issue of blood. She had spent everything she had. She had nothing left. Look at verse 8 again in Joshua chapter 20. And on the other side, Jordan by Jericho eastward. We have crossed the Jordan now, assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain, out of the tribe of Reuben. This place, Bezer, it means fortress or stronghold. There's strength with the Lord this morning. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you feel weak this morning? Are you unable? Have you depending on your own power? Have you said, I can't go on, I can't do it? Listen, you can't, but he can. Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. It doesn't make sense. When we're weak, we give up looking to self and we start to look to the Lord. Do you remember Samson for all his faults? Do you remember Samson? He cried at the end, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only once. God, give me the strength. Give me your strength. Yes, you can't cope. Yes, you can't handle it. Yes, you can't go on. But listen, you can with God's help. What a refuge we have this morning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Are you stuck this morning? Do you feel you can't go on? There is capability with our Lord. Are you scorned this morning? Remember what we studied one time in the book of James? Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Does it seem that the world looks down upon us? You see, look at verse 8 again. You see what I'm doing here. And on the other side, Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben. And Ramoth and Gilead have come to Ramoth. Ramoth means heights are exalted. I remember November 2001. I remember some stupid things at that. John Reed was the Secretary of State. And John Reed, he had a speech in Liverpool. And he said, Northern Ireland is in danger of being a cold house for Protestants. Becoming a cold house for Protestants. I can say this definitely. That it's becoming a cold house for Christians. What you and I believe, what we stand for when it comes to abortion, when it comes to homosexuality, when it comes to these issues that are morally black and white in Scripture, I'll tell you, it's a cold house for you now. It's a cold house. And maybe it's a cold house for you, even among your family, because of who you are. And do you feel down this morning? Let me lift you up this morning. Rather, let the Lord lift you up this morning. Ephesians 2 verse 6, he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Here's what Paul said in Romans 8 verse 7, and if children then heirs, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. I don't care what the world thinks of me. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of a king. Do you need to be lifted up this morning? Remember Hannah? Oh, Hannah was, oh, she felt so despised. And of course, Elkanah's other wife, she poured in it and really hurt her at every opportunity. Here's what Hannah sang in 1 Samuel 2, verse 7. The Lord maketh poor and he maketh rich. He bringeth low and he lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. And I love this saying. He lifteth up the banger from the dunghill to set them among princes. He has lifted us from the hall of shame and has put us into the hall of fame. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lifted from the pit of shame, written in the hall of fame. Our names are written in glory. Oh, don't let anybody put you down. Remember, you're a child of the King this morning. Do you need to get to your refuge again this morning? For sin, you'll find this cleansing. In sadness, you'll find discomfort. In separation, you'll find communion. If you're stuck, you'll find capability. If you're scorned, you'll find consolation. Tell me you're suffering this morning. God's people suffer. Remember Paul and Silas? By they had been beaten. They were beaten with stripes. They were thrown into prison. They were innocent men. But they sang praises unto God. How could you do that? Beaten and bruised and chained, and yet they're singing praises. Where did they get the strength? You know what Nehemiah said? The joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, when we come to this final city, look at the end of verse number 8 in Joshua 20. And Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. Golan means rejoicing or joy. Have you got the joy of the Lord this morning? You know, how do we have this joy? Well, I think if you look at the life of Christ, what brought joy to Christ? He rejoiced when souls were saved. Luke 15, verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God. Now, who's in the presence of the angels of God? Christ. There's joy in the presence. Sometimes we talk about the angels rejoicing. Now, maybe they did rejoice, but that's not what the verse says. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God. Jesus Christ rejoices when a sinner repents. The psalmist said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Maybe if you had an interest and a love for souls, maybe that joy would return. The joy of the Lord. Have you a burden for souls this morning? Would you ever think of asking someone to come to the drive-in church? Would you ever think of sharing the gospel with someone? You see, he rejoiced at souls being saved. You know what else brought him joy? Serving God the Father. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Listen, the cross was no joy, but there was joy in serving God the Father. And doing the will of the Father. There's joy in serving the Lord. Are you sitting in your hands? Are you stuck? Let everybody else do it. There's joy. The joy of the Lord. You know when there was joy according to the Lord? John 16, verse 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive. Why? That your joy may be full. You know what the Lord says? There's joy through prayer. Has your prayer life deceased? Desist? Stopped? Has it become like the fire brigade? You just engage it when there's a fire somewhere it needs to be put out? Or is prayer a habit of your life? You see, you're missing out on the joy of the Lord. There's joy through scriptures. John 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. See, when you neglect the word of God and you neglect prayer, you're losing out on the joy of the Lord. The joy is not what it should be. There's joy when you show true love to others. Philippians 4, verse 2. Paul says, I beseech Eudeus and Syntyche that they be of the one mind in the Lord. These were two ladies that had fallen out. Also, I entreat thee, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with my other fellow laborers. Her names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The implication is that the joy was lost because these two sisters were arguing and bickering with each other. The joy was gone. Oh, do you not want that joy this morning? You see, this joy is there when we supplicate the throne, when we spend time in the scriptures, when we show true love to others, when we serve the Lord, when we want to see souls saved. There's even joy through suffering. Habakkuk 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit tree be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. There shall be no herds in the stalls. Can't get any worse, can it? Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Do you remember what Job said? Though he slay me, yet will I rejoice. How do you get there? You find this help in our refuge. When God is our refuge and strength, and that very present help in trouble. What a refuge we have this morning. You know, we've looked at these verses historically, we've looked at them typically. And we've looked at them practically. The psalmist said in Psalm 142, verse 4, I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Listen, believer, you can never say that. You can point to some men that fail you. You can point to some that don't care. But I'll tell you, he always cares. Psalm 142, verse 5, here's a change. I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge. Thou art my refuge. I think it was Spurgeon said of Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This is what Spurgeon said, a help that is not present when we need it is of small value. You see, these cities of refuge, I read they were always well stocked. There was always an abundance of supply in them. You would never come to the city of refuge and lose out. Everything you would need is found in the city of refuge. I was reading yesterday, I've preached on this before and I hadn't known this. You know something about the Jewish feasts, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Sukkoth sometimes it's called. It's the final feast. It's a time when the Jews were to live in little tents they would make. And it was to remind them of the years they wandered in the wilderness. It also would point to a time when the Son of God would come, Jesus would come and rule and reign through that millennial kingdom. But I didn't realize this, but I read it yesterday, that when they made these little booths, these little tents or huts, whatever you want to call them, they always had to be able to see the stars through the roof. Always had to be able to see the stars through the roof. And I was thinking, well, that's not much use. If the rains came, it'll not keep anything out if you can see the stars. And this was the idea, according to one Jewish writer. He said when they would lie down and they would look up at night and see the stars, they wouldn't be trusting in the little hut. They'd be trusting in God. And I wonder, from March last year up until today, during this pandemic, I wonder, has God left a hole in the roof? That you might realize all the things that you depended on, all the things that you looked to, and many of them are gone. Can't do it anymore. All the things that seem to be important, and there's a hole there. And if you look up, you see the stars. Beyond the stars, there's a God in heaven. And it's God using this period to get your eyes of all that you have and all that you have achieved and just look solely to Him. The eternal God is thy refuge. Do we need to look to our refuge this morning? Thank God He's a very present, not just a present help, He's a very present help in trouble. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the time we spent around the Word this morning. And Lord, there may be some tuned in this morning. Lord, they have never sought refuge in Christ. They've never come to that place when they've recognized their sinners and realized they need Christ as their refuge or they'll be lost for all eternity. Thank God, Lord, it's accessible, it's available, it's easy, it's simple. We pray, Lord, there'll be some who will rise up and flee to Christ as their refuge even today. Lord, there may be some saved this morning, and yet, Lord, they haven't been fully leaning on the God who is their refuge and strength. Lord, will you help them this morning? Will you help them, Lord, to look through the hole in the roof and remember there's a God in heaven, and that eternal God is their refuge. Speak to hearts, Lord. Encourage people. For it's in our Savior's name we pray. Melissa's going to sing My Heart.